Hey everybody, this is Alex Merced and you are listening to Data Nation. Here we go. We're beginning a new year in 2023. Lots of exciting things are going on. One of them is I will be speaking in a couple weeks at Data Day Texas. So if you happen to be in Austin, Texas on January 28th, come see me. I'll be doing two talks on Apache Iceberg in the afternoon portion of the day. So yeah, that's Data Day Texas. So do check that out. Other interesting things, I'm also doing a weekly program called Gnarly Data Waves. So generally it's going to be sort of like a live webcast in its first iteration, which will be every Tuesday. Again, you can find that out at dremio.com's event section. And then it eventually will get posted into other outlets, whether on YouTube, I think eventually a podcast form. So keep an eye out for that. The first episode was pretty awesome, talking about it was particularly about the Dremio Data Lakehouse, but it really made, if you ever wondered, what are the different use cases for a data lakehouse? What are the problems that a data lakehouse solves? I really recommend watching that presentation. It was very fantastic, very compelling. And then I get to talk about some pull requests at the very beginning of the episode, so definitely check that out. And today what I want to talk about is just defining sort of what this term, data as code means, okay? Because if you follow me on LinkedIn, you probably have seen me post about data as code, and you've probably heard about things like Dremio Arctic, Project Nessie, LakeFS, all of them kind of generally promoting this idea of being able to do sort of Git-like semantics with your data lake, in the sense of being able to do branches and whatnot. They do take different approaches, so and I'll kind of get into that later on in the episode. But bottom first, I want to kind of talk about what is this sort of data as code paradigm. And what are the things that it sort of presents, the problems that it solves, and how do you make it part of your data life? Because the idea at the end of the day, we always just want solutions that are just going to make our life easier. So let's just talk about the status quo. So right now, generally what happens is that your data is your data. And what happens is that you ingest data, it's going to have to be in a form and has to be sort of your consumers have to know, this is the table that I'm querying and I'm going to query that table. And there's only one copy of that table in a sense. Okay. So essentially, if you wanted to kind of do isolation in the way today, you would actually have to have a separate copy of the table. So what you would do is you would ingest data into this copy of the table. Okay. Then what you'd have to do is and that's a physical copy. So you basically have two copies of the data. And then you would have to then run a merge statement to merge that into the main table that people actually query. So you could theoretically kind of achieve that now, but again, you're storing a lot more data because you're having two copies of the table or multiple copies of the table. And that gets that gets expensive and it gets complicated. Okay. And problem is when you have normal databases, oftentimes undoing mistakes is a lot more difficult. There isn't the simple, there's not necessarily an undo button. With typical databases or even with typical file structures and file systems. So one, if you want to try to isolate your work, it's a little bit difficult. If you want to sort of undo mistakes, it's kind of impossible. And then when it comes to governance and control, you have your data coming in from all sorts of different places. So then trying to kind of create rules to govern who has access to what gets tricky because some of it you might be doing it from S3 and S3 rules. If you ever set up S3 rules, it can be kind of complicated. You might be doing it from a Postgres, but then is the Postgres, who's the Postgres user, or from some database or from some other system. So then you have all these scattered sets of rules in order to maintain sort of your compliance and whatnot. So the data as code paradigm is trying to take some of these ideas from using Git for version control into working with your data. Okay, so this kind of presents itself in a couple different ways. One, isolation. So the idea is that you'll be able to make a branch of your table, which means not a copy of the table. So you're not physically having to make a double the size of your storage because you've made two copies of the table. It's a logical copy. Because again, generally modern data lakehouse tables, if you're talking about things like Apache Iceberg, they're just a list of files. So essentially, every time you make a change, you're just either saying, hey, this file is now part of the table, this file is not part of the table. Okay, so you can take snapshots of that, okay, of what the file layout looks like. So assuming immutable files make up a table, you can create a branch and say, okay, going forward, these are the changes going down this branch and these are the changes going down this path. And then reconcile those changes when you do like a merge. But the idea is that now I can merge, create a branch, do all my ingestion work. So I can go ingest like some streaming data, then maybe, you know, do some, you know, a little bit of like data fixing and data quality work. But during this entire time, that data is not necessarily queried on the main branch where all my data consumers are querying it. Okay, so that's pretty cool. Okay. And then what you can do is then there's also the idea of like multi-table transactions. So the idea is that since you can do all the work on your branch, and generally this branch is not a copy of like a particular table, it's a partic it's generally like a copy of a not a copy, but a branch of a bigger thing. And we're going to talk about what those things are again when I talk about the different options. You know, it's a in that case you can do work on multiple tables and then sort of like merge those changes in there. So in that case, if I have like three tables that are regularly joined, the problem is only updating them one at a time. You end up with the possibility that a query comes in, joins those tables, and only one out of those three tables have been updated. So you end up not having the most accurate data. So you end up with like consistency issues, and accuracy issues. So with multi-table transactions, the idea is I can make all the changes to all the tables and then merge them in at the same time because all those changes occur on the branch. And once the branch is ready, then I merge them in there. And basically, you avoid this sort of like timing issue. Okay, so that and that's something you really couldn't do on the data lake in a data lakehouse before. So you again, you're isolating your changes. Also, since you're tracking commits every time you update your tables, there are commits, okay, that you can then roll back to. So you can undo mistakes and things like that. And depending on which system you choose, you do have a situation where you can actually like set up governance rules. So you can actually say rules like who can access what where? Like, do people have access to this branch? So you can actually have a protected branch where you do your work. You know, so basically PII is hitting the branch, but by the time it gets merged into the main branch, that PII has been sort of removed or obfuscated. You know, and so that way only the right people have the right privileges to see the right things. And on top of it, you have the visibility and seeing the commits and saying, okay, hey, these commits came from this user using this tool, whatnot. And again, that's going to work a little bit differently again depending on the tools that you use. So primarily on this path, you have like two main paths. You have Project Nessie. Project Nessie, which I've talked about plenty of times before on the podcast, what it is a transactional catalog for Apache Iceberg tables. And essentially what it's doing is that you're versioning the catalog. Okay, and that's going to be a key difference. So essentially what you're versioning is the metadata and sort of the path of snapshots. So essentially what happens is that when you create a branch, you're just creating sort of a different branch of metadata updates. So you're not versioning every created tracking changes to every individual file. You're tracking changes to what metadata is part of the table. Okay, this makes it a lot more lightweight, allows for a lot more throughput. Works particularly with Apache Iceberg tables. There is work to get it to work with Delta Lake tables. There's been a pull request that's just kind of been dangling out there for like I think over a year now, so I don't know if that will ever get if what you need to make it sort of more robustly work with the Delta Lake tables. Well, basically, there is a fork or a custom version of Delta Lake you can use to make it work with Delta Lake tables. There is a pull request to make those changes to Delta Lake proper, but it just kind of sits there as reasons. So that's one option. And the cool thing about that is because it works at the catalog level with it, like Apache Iceberg and whatnot, there is like SQL extension. So essentially you can do all these types of like commands like creating branches, switching branches, all that from your SQL. Okay, so you're not having to switch sort of paradigms on a regular basis. You can just literally just stick to SQL and do all your work, do your branching, all that stuff from SQL. And again, you're only versioning, you're only really tracking changes in, at the metadata level, not necessarily at the file level. Because again, if you're familiar with how Apache Iceberg tables work, the changes in the files are tracked at the metadata level. So basically, you just have to track the branches and changes to the metadata. Then there's like LakeFS. And LakeFS does it works a little bit differently. It's tracking versioning at the file level. Okay, so essentially, when you create a branch, you're creating sort of a branch of your file system. Particularly like your S3 cloud file system. So far as I understand that, again, I'm not a LakeFS expert, but one, there's not a lot for like SQL extensions, so you would have to kind of shift into like Python or Java to kind of do a lot of this sort of like branching logic. You're tracking versioning at the file level, so you're tracking versioning of all the files. So again, you're not necessarily making copies of files, but you're still like tracking changes in more individual objects, in a sense. But if you're using something like Delta Lake or Hoodie, then that will probably be your primary option. While, if you're using Iceberg, then Project Nessie really kind of offers a really nice, robust option with a lot of other benefits. Because with Project Nessie, you're going to get a lot more. You get version rollback, things like that. But you're also going to get a lot more sort of governance things, because you're doing it at the catalog level, so you can set more permissions at the catalog level. And a cool thing is that it's a lot e pretty easy to set up, because now you have a cloud service in Dremio Arctic, where basically you just get a catalog for free. You can just get a Project Nessie catalog. You don't have to maintain a server. It's basically zero setup. You just click a button and you have a catalog. And you can connect to it with any tool. You can connect to it with Spark, you can connect to it with Flink, you can connect to it with Presto. Very soon you can connect to it with Trino. Of course, you can connect to it with Dremio Sonar, as the query engine. But basically you can connect to it with all your favorite tools, but you from the Dremio Arctic UI, you can actually see all the changes to your data. You can see the commits, see like the user ID of the user that made the change, where they made the change. You can manage your branches from a UI, which also just gives you that extra level of just sort of ease of use. On top of, again, the niceness of with Project Nessie, where you can actually use SQL to do all that branching logic. So that is sort of like the data's code paradigm. But also a cool thing with that is that like with Dremio Arctic and Project Nessie, again, you have like a central place to set up a lot of your governance rules. So the idea is you could actually create rules, because the rules aren't on the files, the rules are at the file level, they're at the catalog level. When you connect to that catalog with Spark, those rules are going to be honored. So you don't have to create like a different set of rules when you're working with Spark versus working with Dremio versus working with Flink. You're going to have a central place where you can be able to manage the governance of those of your catalog across your tools. So you get that, and you get that, and of course you get version control, you get isolation, you get the multi-table transactions, you get all that good stuff. And that's the beauty of like the data as code paradigm, regardless of like sort of like what your data stack is. Embracing this paradigm in your data lakehouse is going to make your life a lot easier. Because guess what? You'll be able to undo mistakes. You'll be able to isolate the work without having to make copies. These are all things that, again, save money, make it easier to sleep at night, because you know that, hey, people aren't querying bad data, okay? And that if you make mistakes, they aren't hard to fix. And that there's a lot to be said for that. If you ever spent days backfilling or having to recreate data because of a mistake, there's definitely a lot to say for that. So with that, I'll leave this episode there. Again, the goal here being so now you understand what this data as code means. The idea is like you're applying these sort of code versioning concepts and benefits that apply to code and applying it to data. In the same way, there's like this whole concept of infrastructure as code, where you write YAML files and things like Kubernetes and Terraform can then spin up your data, your not your just your application infrastructure. The idea is just kind of applying this idea that we think about a lot of the things that weren't necessarily code before, things we had to kind of manually set up, and be able to make setting up a lot of things a much more programmatic. And I think that's a good trend. Okay, it's a trend that makes sense in my mind. I like thinking of things in a more codey way. And hopefully you guys appreciate all that. But again, my name is Alex Merced. You're listening to Data Nation. Again, you can always join the Data Nation Slack channel by going to datanation.click. Feel free to shoot me a message there with any episode ideas or anything you'd like. And then also keep an eye out on the Status Stack, Rudderstack's The Data Stack Show. I will be appearing there for a fun interview sometime. I think it should go live sometime in February, so keep an eye out for that. Have a great day and enjoy.